This court, independent of, but in agreement with, the advisory sentence rendered by the jury, does hereby impose the death penalty upon the defendant, Theodore Robert Bundy.
Man, I am looking forward to this conversation. On the hotline is Joe Berlinger, a producer, a director, and he has not one but two movies to talk about. Good morning, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, nice to talk to you guys.
Okay, now I wanted to ask you about how the documentary came about, but let me speculate how this went down, all right? You tell me if I'm right or wrong. You were making the Zac Efron film, which is coming out this summer on Netflix. You got into this whole Ted Bundy thing, saw this trove of all this news material and everything, and then decided to make the documentary, or was that the plan all along?
No, it's actually the exact opposite. the exact opposite. I was a guy named Stephen Michaud, who's the author of the book Conversations with a Killer, which came out several decades ago, sent me the audio tapes of the final interviews he did with Bundy on death row in 1980, and he used those to do this book. And 20 years later, he kind of, or almost 30 years later, he found the tapes and sent them to me and said, "Do you think there's a TV show here?" That was in January of 2017. I listened to the tapes, found them utterly chilling and worthy of a documentary series. And then a few months later, I happened to mention to my agent in Los Angeles how fascinating the Bundy story is proving to be. And he said to me, you know, there's a blacklisted script. And the Hollywood blacklist is scripts that Hollywood executives like, but they've tried to make or they like, but can't seem to figure out how to make. So this script by Michael Wuerwy, called Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile, has been kicking around Hollywood for a long time. And because I was doing the doc series and had a unique perspective on it, he thought I should take a read of the script, which I did. And I didn't think the movie and the doc series would come together at the same time. You know, movies take forever to get made.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so I figured it would be a long road, but then Zac Efron signed on pretty quickly, and the movie got financed immediately, which rarely happens in Hollywood. So I found myself now doing two projects simultaneously.
Well, good for you. Well, that's very cool. And I'll tell you, this documentary, I watched all 4 episodes, and you know what's fascinating to me is I was of that age, but I don't recall much about it at 12, 13, 14, 16. I think my parents purposefully kept it out of the house, which was actually possible to do back then. But it's fascinating to see the cars and the clothes and the mustaches on all the men. And then when it finishes, it's satellite trucks, because he wasn't electrocuted until, 89? Then it's kind of present day. You recognize some of the national reporters. And it's also shocking the way that the state of Washington, which where Ted first began killing, how long it took them to hook up with Utah. But without an internet or a database, it's amazing that how far apart they were.
Yeah, no, the law enforcement was in a very different stage back then. There was no central databases. There was, you know, there was no DNA evidence, and it's why Bundy eluded capture for so long. The other reason he eluded capture for so long, which is why I wanted to make the series, is that, you know, because he was charming and good-looking and white, you know, people thought that, couldn't imagine that he would do anything wrong, even though there were a lot of clues pointing to him. And I think that's a lesson that a new generation can't learn enough, which is those who commit evil usually are the people closest to us, not some phantom monster in the dark recesses of the human condition. And that's a message I want my daughters to know and, you know, for young people to know. You know, whether it's a priest who commits pedophilia and then holds mass the next day, or a guy who everyone likes and thinks is terrific, but, you know, he's also America's most notorious serial killer, people really need to earn your trust before you give it to them.
And isn't that one thing when in the Ted Bundy tapes where he couldn't talk about the killings in detail, had to do it like in third person? That seems like a pretty specific kind of pathology.
But he wasn't incriminating himself. That's why he did that. Right. Yeah,
exactly. Well, one of the many unique things about Bundy is that, you know, most serial killers, once they're caught, they love to talk about what they've done and confess. And Bundy, one of the reasons people found him so believable, why even at his Miami trial for the murder of the Cuyamega women, the Cuyamega sorority girls, people were showing up thinking he was innocent and kind of advocating for him because he so steadfastly maintained his innocence. While the legal woes were piling up, he maintained his innocence during the trial. He represented himself, which was a spectacle in and
yeah,
of itself.
Yeah, right.
And maintained his innocence, and all throughout the appeals process for 10 years, he maintained his innocence. And it was only the last few days of his life before he was about to get electrocuted that he started to confess. But even that was a cynical ploy to try to extend his life so that he would become useful to investigators from 7 states who still had multiple cases to close. And he felt that if he started doling out information little bits at a time, they'd keep him alive longer, which ultimately did not work. The state of Florida decided.
He was pathological.
The ego
to the end. And if you remember the spectacle for his execution. I mean,
that was offensive to me at the very end. All those people selling T-shirts and people brought their kids. I was highly offended by that.
Well, you know, I'm virulently anti-death penalty, not even from a moral standpoint. I'm anti-death penalty because I've done work in the criminal justice space with films like Paradise Lost, which demonstrate that people get wrongfully convicted all the time. And in fact, DNA evidence has exonerated 20 people from death row, 20 innocent people who might have been executed.
Yeah.
So my belief is that, you know, there can be no death penalty because even the execution of one innocent person means, because it's a system run by human beings who are fallible, you cannot have a death penalty. So that spectacle outside of the death house, you know, I found also equally troubling that people were celebrating the killing of another human being, even though obviously this is a horrible person who deserved to be in prison for the rest of his life.
How well do you think you got to know Ted Bundy, the serial killer, between the docuseries and the film?
I think on the one hand, I got to know many, many details, but getting to know him, I think he's an enigma.
Yeah.
Nobody can really understand why people do these things, that, you know, and the easy explanations, I think, are dangerous. You know, people have said, you know, he was born illegitimate, and when he learned that he was illegitimate, it kind of set him off. Or his first girlfriend in college, who had long hair parted in the middle, which then became the Bundy prototypical victim, you know, that set him off because he couldn't handle rejection. But none of those explanations are sufficient. You know, there is no explanation for this kind of evil. Look, I've been broken up with girlfriends.
We don't go out killing many times, and
I have become a homicidal maniac.
And the illegitimate finding out at 14, let me interject with this, wouldn't it be fascinating to find out, did they ever know who his biological father was? Because genetically speaking, it would be interesting to see what that guy had going on. Because he picked this up, I mean, this came from somewhere.
It did. There's several different theories as to who the father was. It's a good point you raised, but, you know, there's no definitive proof as to who the father was.
And the mother didn't seem as upset as she should have been. Whenever she was on camera or you heard her voice, you'd think most mothers would just be freaking out, your son is Ted Bundy, and yet she really wasn't.
Well, she had a reserve that was quite fascinating.
Yeah.
You know, that is some indication of kind of the denial of certain truths that were happening in that household. They all like to talk about how idyllic the childhood was, but there's, you know, if you dig a little deeper, you know, friends and family members noticed odd things about him. You know, when he was 3 or 4 years old, an aunt woke up to see him standing over her, and he had put knives all around her on her bed as she slept, which was obviously a disturbing thing. So there's a picture of domestic bliss that the family liked to paint, but beneath the surface, it showed, definitely somebody who was headed towards a different path.
Before we say goodbye here, do you think that Ted, underneath it all, perhaps was a bit jealous of Charles Manson?
That's hard to say.
I mean, the timing of it is so bizarre. And then there was, I mean, you had Son of Sam later that decade. You had, the Green River Killer?
It was the decade of serial killers.
Well, that's one of the interesting things about about the show and about the time period that makes it relevant to the Me Too movement today, because the social progress of the 60s, you know, women becoming more emancipated, women entering the workforce,
yeah,
and women being more independent, hitchhiking, that type of thing. Unfortunately, all that social progress also had a dark side, which it inspired rage and sexual predatory behavior against women by privileged white people, white men generally, in the 70s, that we saw a great increase in that kind of serial killing.
The movie is called Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile, and it stars Zac Efron. It'll be on Netflix, possibly in the theaters this summer of 19, and the documentary currently on Netflix, 4 parts, 4 hours, highly recommend it. Joe Berlinger, thank you,
man. Thanks, Joe.
I could go an hour on this. Thank you so much.
Cool. Thank you very much.
All righty. Bye-bye.